The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 17th through Sunday, March 23rd, 2025. The commentary for Monday, March 17th, and all of the month of March were written by Tyler Richards, an Episcopal priest serving at St. Anne's Episcopal Church in De Pere, Wisconsin. He's also an avid birder, vocalist, and gardener. He enjoys spending free time with his wife and his beautiful daughters, usually somewhere in the Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The commentary for Monday, March 17th begins as follows, and I should point out that today, of course, is St. Patrick's Day, the day we celebrate Patrick of Ireland. The commentary begins with a passage from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "And I, for my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." Here's the commentary. "Father, I just need you to pray that I'll find patience. Of all the prayer requests I receive, this one terrifies me the most. I shudder when people ask me to pray that they will have patience or wisdom. Like many things, patience and wisdom only come with practice and discipline. Most prophets shudder when the word of God comes to them and asks them to do something because it is usually exceptionally hard. Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and yes, even Jonah are asked to do hard things, and they fret. God also selects us to do the hard and necessary work of the gospel. Our ongoing work is to remember that we are not only chosen as God's children, but also are empowered by the Spirit to do the job that is given to us." And now I'm going to read the full passage for today from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' And I said, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.' Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it.' The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see a boiling pot tilted away from the north.' Then the Lord said to me, 'Out of the north, disaster shall break out on all the inhabitants of the land. For now I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and all of them shall set their thrones at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its surrounding walls and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, for all their wickedness in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. But you, gird up your loins, stand up, and tell them everything that I command you. Do not break down before them, or I will break you before them. And I, for my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And the moving forward statement for this Monday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, is to remember the gift of the Holy Spirit. The commentary for Tuesday, March 18th, begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. There are no two ways about it. Sin is ugly. Sometimes it's even seen as uncouth, an uncouth thing to speak about. But talk about it we must. We have to wrestle with sin, with those things that come between us and our relationship with God. Little idols we build, other things we give our adoration, and the promises we make to God and others that go unfulfilled. Likewise, we must acknowledge the things that prevent us from loving our neighbors as ourselves. These obstacles represent sins we must work through and repent of. We repent of our sins because they distort, destroy, or diminish the relationships God gives us, both with God and our neighbors. Such distortions lead to deeper chaos and division. If we are to be God's people on earth, we have to cultivate a Christ-like perspective. That requires us to abandon sin wherever we find it. Sin is our common affliction. Jesus provides the only cure. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith. For faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who, by their wickedness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things He has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what sin do you need to acknowledge and repent of? Take it to God in prayer. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, March 19th, the day on which we celebrate the feast day of Saint Joseph. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 45 and 46. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. The day I became a father was sacramental. In the months leading up to the birth of my first daughter, I sought advice from everywhere. One of those sources was the Reverend Tim Myers. He had small children when we were expecting our first, and I asked him, "So, Tim, do you think becoming a dad was anything like your ordination?" He stopped momentarily and thought and replied, "I think it was a lot like an ordination." I can't imagine the fullness of Joseph's journey. I know what it is to be a dad, but I do not know what it must have been like to try to be a father to Jesus. Jesus was born to save the world. Joseph guarded him until his time had come. I wonder if his heart skipped a beat, knowing who this foster child would become. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this Wednesday, and it is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday is a simple one. Give the faith to a child. The commentary for Thursday, March 20th, begins with a passage from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 19. "My anguish, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war." Grief is universal. All of our hearts have been broken for one reason or another, so we understand the prophet's words well. The question remains, where do I go with this? Well, too often grief gets dismissed as unholy. As I write this, I am reminded of the devotion called the Stations of the Cross. Grief is just one of the many themes explored by reflecting on the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus grieves, weeps, encourages, and ultimately dies, and we are left with the grief of the moment. Jesus sheds tears over those he loves while comforting those who weep. Our grief is holy, and sharing others' suffering with them is also holy work. I hope we can give ourselves permission and others the freedom to grieve and to weep with those who are weeping. And now I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and also 19 through 28. "On that day, says the Lord, courage shall fail the king and the officials. The priests shall be appalled and the prophets astounded. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, how utterly you have deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, it shall be well with you, even while the sword is at the throat.'" my anguish, I writhe in pain, O the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins, before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. And the moving forward statement for this Thursday is, honor the grief that lives within you. The commentary for Friday, March 21st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The two great commandments should be a part of our DNA. Love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus distills the law into these two guidelines, which are easily memorized and applied with incredible difficulty. My first memory of trying to love my neighbors as myself is of packing fruit baskets for senior citizens at Christmas. Boxes of apples, oranges, and bananas seemingly appeared out of thin air to go into baskets covered with cellophane wrap and topped off with a chintzy holiday bow. It wasn't a complex operation, but the village turned out to make it happen. Following the path that Jesus paves does not have to be complicated. It does require us to think about who is standing next to us. It does require us to think about how our actions affect our neighbors. It does require us to think. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from John today, chapter 5, verse 30 through 47. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? And the moving forward question for this Friday is, who is standing next to you that needs you? The commentary for Saturday, March 22nd, also begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its works are evil." While loving our neighbors can be easy, standing with Jesus is not always so. It takes great moral and spiritual courage to stand with Jesus against the injustice and inhumanity we often see around us. But it is part of our duty as Christians to do just that. Jesus speaks out against the crimes of his time. In doing so, his words also color our experience of our times, or rather they should. As I wrote yesterday, it takes a great deal of awareness and discernment to answer the question, "What would Jesus do?" For us to be his hands and feet, however, that's precisely what we must do, discern. There are so many things in our lives that we're invited to be outraged about. However, the more faithful response is to respond only to those things that need a response. That is, not everything. We have to save our energy to respond only to those things that seek to destroy the creatures of God. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from the book of John, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He did not wish to go about in Judea because the Jews were looking for an opportunity to kill him. Now the Jewish festival of booths was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one who wants to be widely known acts in secret. If you do these things, show yourself to the world," for not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its works are evil. Go to the festival yourselves. I am not going to this festival, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone to the festival, then he also went, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews were looking for him at the festival and saying, "Where is he?" And there was considerable complaining about him among the crowds. While some were saying, "He is a good man," others were saying, "No, he is deceiving the crowd." Yet no one would speak openly about him for fear of the Jews. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how can you stand with Jesus this week? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the message for today, this Sunday, March 23rd. It is the third Sunday of Lent. It begins with a passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here I am. I do not have an accurate count of the things that have caused me to stop and look again. Solar eclipses, northern lights, sunrises and sunsets are a few of these. I've also been extraordinarily blessed to travel for much of my life, experiencing such beautiful sights as Westminster Abbey, Canterbury Cathedral, Bryce Canyon, and Zion National Park. God asks us to turn aside and experience wonder. God's creation is a source of endless contemplation, and at times so is human ingenuity. But these great wonders that take our breath away prompt me to ask, what are they for? Are they an end to themselves, or are they there to remind us that God is even more incredible? Indeed, God is so great that God inspires and colors the very creation itself. It might not always be a burning bush that causes us to gasp at God's greatness. And now I'll read the first six verses of Exodus chapter 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the moving forward suggestion for this Sunday, March 23rd, is notice the things that make you gasp at God's greatness and give God thanks for them. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me for our program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.